Title of this message is Never Leave Home Without It. This is actually part seven of this. And what are we talking about? We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that Jesus commanded of his disciples was to receive that power, to receive God's power. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And again, I've said this many times, but God never intended for us to do anything he ever told us to do without his power. When he gave the commission to the disciples, he was letting them know, the Great Commission, he was letting them know, "I want you to go win the world for Jesus, but don't even attempt to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit." Because man can produce all kinds of good things, but if it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make an eternal difference. So man has his plans, but man's plans, and usually what we think are good plans, are usually not God's plans, all right? We can come up with our strategies. We can come up with our marketing plans. We can come up with all of our, you know, earthly knowledge and how to make something happen. But if it is not led by the Holy Spirit, it is a waste of time. Can I get a bigger amen? Amen. So that's what this is really all about. Now, this isn't just about how you run a church or how you run a ministry or something. This is simply about how we live our lives. How many of you know we are all called to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And we're all called to take part in the Great Commission. And we're all called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because we're all called to reconcile men to God and to change the destination of sinful men and women from hell to heaven. How many of you agree? That's our job, right? We all have a part to play. And so we cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about several things that the Holy Spirit does for us, and I'm going to run through this like machine gun style. You can go back and you can listen to the other messages that are on our YouTube page, Church of the Promise YouTube page, if you would like to do that. But we said, number one, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He lets us know when we're wrong. Number two, the Holy Spirit regenerates us by his power. I feel that regeneration in me right now, literally. Because, you know, a week ago, it was tough. But I feel the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit in me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing up here. All right? Thank God he regenerates us. Number three, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells in us. He stays with us. Number four, the Holy Spirit seals us, making us as his own. And we said that doesn't just mean he puts a mark on us or seals us like keeps us in salvation. It means that he puts his mark of approval and authority, so to speak, on us. All right. Number five, the Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us. In fact, he'll teach you what men cannot teach you. I've had lots of people, even with the Bible, where they'll stand and they say, "Well, I'm going to teach you the Bible." And they may teach you some kind of stuff that the Bible says, but aren't necessarily teaching you what the Holy Spirit is saying through it. Only the Holy Spirit can make that come alive to you. Now, I can share with you revelation that the Holy Spirit gives me, but I'm going to tell you, there's plenty of revelation that he's going to give you if you just seek him, right? So he teaches us. Thank God for that. Number six, the Holy Spirit reminds us again and again what he taught us. As I said before, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of stuff, right? In fact, you ask my wife, she has to remind me of stuff a lot, right? She'll say, "Didn't I already tell you that?" And I say, "Yeah, but I'm a man, and you have to tell me at least twice, if not three times," all right? I think that one's mainly for the men, that he has to tell us over and over again. And then number seven, the Holy Spirit guides and directs our steps, and he shows us where to go, how to get where we need to get when we have no idea how. Number eight, we said the Holy Spirit is our helper. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Number nine, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about the fact that that word counselor actually is several other words. It can be translated several other ways as well, like intercessor and consoler and advocate and comforter. And then we said that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. That's actually supposed to be number 10. And then The Holy Spirit also fills us. Now, this is where we're really going to start today, that the Holy Spirit fills us. Now, we talked quite a bit the last time I taught on this about those gifts and how the gifts of the Spirit are for everyone. The gifts of the Spirit are for His church. The gifts of the Spirit are how He intends for us to do His work. It's very powerful when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in His people. When God begins to flow through you in word of knowledge and word of wisdom and healing and miracles and supernatural faith and all of those things that are a part, even tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and all those things, they're very, very powerful. And most of the church, well, now I'm not going to say most, let me back up. A whole lot of the church has completely abandoned those gifts and said that they're not even for us today. They're not part of the church's operation. And I always say, well, you come too late to tell me that, because I've seen it too much. I've seen too many miracles and seen too many healings, and I've experienced too many of those gifts operating and flowing. And so thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But today, we're going to start with the fact that the Holy Spirit fills us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, today, if it were modern day, he could say, do not get stoned with marijuana, right? Do not get, in other words, don't let anything else become a substitute for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, right? And people are always looking for substitutes, all right? So, but do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled. That is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. And by the way, there is a difference between having the Holy Spirit come and regenerate you into a new person that happens in salvation or in what we call justification. There's a difference in that and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people try to say, oh, it's all the same thing. The moment you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit that you're going to get. But we can prove with the Bible that that's not the case, because there are Christians who are then being filled with the Holy Spirit in certain situations and times. And we see that over and over. So let me give you several scriptures here. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled. Everybody say filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we see that supernatural outpouring. And this is the scripture, this is why most people say that when you are baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, that there's going to be the evidence of speaking in tongues. I teach that a little different. I do believe that tongues is an evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe it's the only one, all right? I mean, I believe a life, a changed life, a life submitted to God, a life filled with the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit, those are also evidences of the baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you this. Some people say, well, I don't believe tongues is for everyone. But I'll say this. I believe it is for every believer in Christ that God wants that gift to function and operating you. And I'm talking about the gift of praying in tongues, all right? And there is a difference between the praying in tongues and tongues that requires an interpretation. One is from us to God, that's praying in tongues. It's nobody's business what you're saying or your spirit is crying out to God. And one is from heaven to earth, which is supposed to be a message from God to the church. That requires an interpretation, which is also a spiritual gift, to interpret a language that you don't know, all right? So just wanted to throw that out there. Tongues is for everybody. I believe that with all my heart. Not everybody who is filled with the Spirit necessarily spoke in tongues, because they may not understand how it works. But I do believe that everybody who is filled with the Spirit can. All right? Can I get a bigger amen? And if you disagree with me, you have the right to be wrong. That's okay. So Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders." So what does it say? about Peter? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he begins to preach an incredible message because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. God is leading him in what he says, and thousands of people are saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. By the way, one of the evidences of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is also boldness. You have a boldness like you've never had before. So the Holy Spirit, again, this is a separate time after Acts 2. This is Acts 4. And again, it's saying they were filled with the Holy Spirit right here in this moment. Then Acts chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul had already had a salvation experience, but now he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. And the disciples, this is chapter 13, long after Acts chapter 2, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So I want to tell you, being filled is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. God loves to fill his people. And sometimes there's a specific infilling that happens to get a specific thing done. And it causes gifts of the Spirit to begin to operate. All right? So several scriptures that deal with that term, and I just wanted to throw those out there. There are more. So we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is our daily bread. Amen? Now go ahead and tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit infilling. Never leave home without it. Man, I tell you, I told someone just the other day walking through tragedies, unexpected things. You all know, we've all experienced things that just kind of blindsided you, things that emotionally can just wreck you, things that we don't understand, things that just happen because we live in this wicked, evil, broken world. But I can't imagine, and really don't want to imagine, living life and experiencing things and tragedies without the infilling and the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. No wonder people kill themselves. And no wonder. I mean, I don't know why anybody would reject such a wonderful thing as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, number 11, which is really 12, the Holy Spirit in us brings forth fruit. Now, I want to clarify, I have seen some folks in our circles who are fruity, but that's not the kind of fruity we're talking about, all right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when I teach on the gifts of the Spirit, and this is just a very quick thing here, but when I teach on the gifts of the Spirit, one thing that I believe, my personal opinion here, is that there's really just one fruit of the Spirit, but then there's several flavors. The fruit of that Spirit is love. And then there are several ways in which love is expressed, and it's several flavors of love. But either way, the fruit of the Spirit is literally the character of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants that character to show forth in our lives. So listen, I wish I could tell you that in every moment, that every time I'm in a situation that is tough or that blindsides me or whatever, that it's always the fruit of the Spirit that's showing up. I wish I could tell you that after all these years of serving Jesus, I wish I could say that were always the case. And I can't. But I can tell you that that's a whole lot more the case than it was a long time ago. All right. I can tell you that my character is being shaped just like your character is and should be being shaped by the Holy Spirit. The more I yield to him, the more his character is going to show forth. Instead of impatience, there's going to be patience. Instead of, being angry and mad and out of control, there's going to be him controlling me instead of my own self. By the way, that term self-control doesn't mean me manning up and controlling myself with my own will. No, self-control means it's letting the Holy Spirit control self, who always wants to be in charge. Y'all get it? And so all of these things, you know, when I feel absolutely confused and fretful instead of peaceful, I have to stop, come to repentance, and embrace the peace of the Holy Spirit and allow that to become my character. And so this is kind of the fruit of the Spirit. It's almost like a test. It's like, how much am I allowing the Holy Spirit to literally lead my life? And when things happen and I'm not seeing these fruit, but I'm seeing the opposite of those fruit, there is my red flag that I am not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead my life in that moment. Amen? So the world should see the fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk. And we should strive, if we're going to strive for anything, strive to yield self, to yield our will to the will of God. Instead of allowing our base nature as a human to rise up, allow the nature of the Holy Spirit who fills us to rise up and to act in accordance with that. So it makes a huge difference when the world sees the fruit of the Spirit rather than seeing those of us who claim Christ but who act just like the rest of the world. It'll turn their life around because they know you have something that they don't have. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Thus you will recognize them. Who? By their fruits, right? You will recognize God's people by their fruits. You will also recognize those who are not God's people by their fruits. Now, we are told in the scripture, in fact, in Matthew chapter 7, people love to use that scripture to talk about that we should not judge, that we, you know, judge not, lest we be judged. Yet, at the same time, we're told that we will know people by their fruit. So, in a sense, we are to make a judgment, but the judgment isn't to write people off. The judgment is to know how to pray for people, to know how to love people, sometimes to just love people through stuff, right? So you will know them, you will recognize them by their fruits. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit fruit basket, never leave home without it. All right, let me give you the last one. The Holy Spirit authorizes us. Now I save this one for last. The Holy Spirit authorizes us. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you, who's you? You, me. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Now, you have to understand that this is, when you understand, this is spiritually speaking, these are not talking about necessarily normal serpents and scorpions, although I do believe that that can apply, but this is literally talking about demons. This is talking about all the power of the enemy. This is talking about demonic forces who were on this earth to do one thing and one thing only, bring death and destruction, and to literally hate God's people. And that's why they're here. And so he's given us, Jesus is saying, I've given you authority over all of them. There's no need to fear. And when the Holy Spirit is in us, the Holy Spirit is way more powerful than anything that could possibly come against you. Now, when it says nothing shall hurt you, I want you to understand, in this world, we are going to experience hurt. So he's not obviously just talking about physical hurt here. He's talking about when it's all said and done, even if somehow the enemy was able to kill your body on this earth, you still win. You can't lose. He has authorized you to overcome. Now listen, I believe that we also carry a power and authority to deal with devils and to deal with everything that is demonically inspired and to deal with sickness and disease and all of those things. And I don't understand everything all the time about how and why things happen. When my daughter-in-law was laying in that bed and they said that she was pretty much brain dead, and she's, you know, they got her on a machine to keep her heart going and her lungs going. Look, I'm standing till the end. And I believe that's what we do. We stand, we speak life, we rebuke death, we take authority over it. I told someone, I said, I don't understand all the ins and outs of all of this. But I will tell you that in that very same ICU, in that very same hospital, I know the Lord told me to go speak life into a young man that they said was brain dead and would never come off of that bed alive. And the very next day, that young man was walking around the room opening drawers when the nurse walked in and freaked her plumb out and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Don't y'all have some food around here?" I saw it happen in the very same ICU. So I stood for my daughter-in-law the same way. But it just so happens that I guess it was time for her to go be with Jesus. And so I can accept that. But I'm going to stand till the end. Amen. And I believe that's what God has called us to do. And I thank God because many in this church were standing the same way. And I have the promise that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And we have the promise that what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for your good. Amen. Amen. I believe that. But we have authority over devils. In the context, again, of that scripture, he's talking about demonic spirits. And where did that authority come from? Well, the same place Jesus got it. Matthew 12:28. But if it is by the Spirit of God, everybody say the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus lives in you and me if you're born again. Amen. And I want him to have more and more and more of my life. I don't want any voids in my life, and I don't want to give place to any sin or any wrong thinking or anything like that. I want him to fill every gap, every void, go into the hallways of my heart, open every door up, clean the junk out of those rooms, and fill it with his glory, every room, every closet, even that, you know, even the junk drawers, right? I want him to go in and fill every area, because I want to walk in his authority. I want my life to be pleasing to him. The works of the devil can only be destroyed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to be anointed. I want his anointing to rest on me and in me. I want it to lead me. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit authority. Never leave home without it. There's a good chance that you're going to walk out of these doors today and you're going to be met with some kind of demonic resistance, and you're going to have to walk in that Holy Spirit authority. Make sure that you are filled up and ready to go. Amen. Tell your neighbor, go ahead and get tanked up. Listen, thank God that he didn't leave us to make it on our own. Thank God he sent the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his supernatural power. Never leave home without it. We've done this many times before, but let's do it one more time. Let's reach into heaven and just ask the Lord to go ahead and fill us again. Go ahead and saturate us. Go ahead and baptize us. Lord, baptize us in your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Authorize us, Lord. Saturate us, Jesus. Saturate us, Jesus. We don't want any area of our life, Lord, that is not completely overtaken and filled by your presence, oh God, filled by your glory, Lord. Lord, you never intended for us to walk on this earth and do anything without your power, Lord. We say, empower us now, oh God. Empower us. Fill us. Fill us with your fire. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your glory. Fill us with your purpose. Fill us with your love, oh God. Hallelujah. We open our hearts to you. We open every door. We open every room. We open every area, oh God. And we say, come in and fill. Come in and fill us with your power. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that these people have been commissioned. Lord, they've been commissioned, Lord, to invade the darkness with the light. They've been commissioned, Lord, to invade the areas of sickness and disease with healing and miracles. They've been commissioned to invade the area of lies with truth, oh God. Lord, they've been commissioned, Lord, to bring reconciliation between you and those who are far from you. And Lord, I thank you for the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, filling them to overflowing, oh God. May your fire go with them everywhere they go. Lord, I thank you for renewing, Lord, renewing vision, for renewing purpose, oh God. Lord, for causing the old things to be gone and the new things, Lord, to arise. I thank you for raising up a people, Lord, who won't be intimidated by devils, but Lord, will stand in authority over every devil that they ever have to face. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May you be glorified in and through our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Fill them, Jesus. Fill them, Holy Spirit. Fill their life. fill their life. May the anointing be powerful upon them. May the anointing be strong in them. Hallelujah. Lead them, guide them, fill them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen.